especially in Montana, we're outdoors folks. We see it from our precipitation's different. Last year, I went from floods to fire season in declaring emergencies in matters of weeks, and we see it changing, and it can have a significant impact also in what we as Montanans enjoy as streams are getting closed earlier in the season as a result of water temperatures and the loss of water. What I've said to many, though, is that even if they don't believe the vast amount of science, even if they want to deny climate change exists, most people acknowledge it. So there's going to be changes no matter what.
So what can we better do to address these impacts within the state's borders that we aren't doing now?
I mean, I've tasked Department of Environmental Quality and Department of Administration and others to really take a look at energy conservation, not just on state buildings, but programs that can go out, you know, throughout the state, creating jobs at the same time that you're making places more energy efficient. Because the most significant immediate move would deal with consumption. Look, I recognize that folks who certainly saying we need to cut back on our fossil fuels because of carbon, but also the detractors of renewables say you don't have sort of the consistency and we don't have a grid. And I think the only certainty in all of this is that our future is going to look a lot different than what it is today. There's a lot more going on in Montana, sometimes behind the meter, but across the state when it comes to solving parts of what this energy future is going to look like. When you look at the wind production that's already gone in, others that are looking at it as we work on transmission issues, when you look at trying to handle some of the challenges, I mean, I've been up to a company in the Flathead that it's getting closer and closer to developing a battery that will take care of some of the variability of wind so that they could store. In the Flathead area, I've been to a company that is working on sort of the bioalgae things to produce energy. Or you look at Stoltz Lumber up there as well, who is doing power generation through burning, you know, more or less some of their chips and things, the cogeneration. That's why I say in part, we need to look a ways down the road because there are some exciting things toward energy innovation and development that's occurring in our state.
So if you talk to climate scientists, they will say of all carbon emitters, coal is the absolute worst. It is the dirtiest form of energy we have. You talk about the impacts of climate change across the state. You talk about some of the things that we should do to try to mitigate those effects. But you are also in favor of developing Montana's coal reserves and sending those coal reserves overseas. Do you see a contradiction there?
I think that we need to recognize that you're not going to be flipping switches off overnight no matter what. I mean, you're looking at a 30 to 40 years, I think, before we would completely transition out of coal. Or also, though, this provides the opportunity to innovate and say, how can we more effectively use coal and reduce some of the greenhouse gases? Part of what our overall energy future is going to look like is depending on how all coal can be utilized in new and different ways. I mean, think about the technology in our smartphones, how much that's changed just in the last, 3 years even. We really haven't had that many technological changes when it comes to how we're utilizing burning coal.
But much of what is being proposed for Montana's coal reserves is to be selling it out of country to countries in Asia where there aren't the kinds of restrictions that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, to step back, what I'm talking about in the United States isn't even necessarily the restriction side of it. It's like, let's work on the technology side so we can either find uses for the carbon or reduce that. I don't think it's feasible in the United States or around the world to say tomorrow we're shutting off coal. Nor do I think it's probably in our state's or country's best interest. There will be transitions and changes in the economy, and hopefully it'll be in the upcoming truly decades.
If you do talk to climate scientists again, they will say that the time for dramatic change is now, that we are getting closer and closer to these benchmarks where we cannot reverse some of the changes that are happening. Should the U.S. not be leading by example in that?
Well, I think in some respects, when you look at some of the ways now energy is being developed in the United States, we are leading by example. But in point of fact, if you shut down and said there will be no more coal development in Montana, it might make some folks feel good, but it's not going to change the overall levels of what we're looking at. So we need to be looking to find solutions, but solutions isn't either, you know, well, we won't do any renewables or we won't do any coal, because that's not really going to get, I think, our economy or our energy mix anywhere.
You do support allowing the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline?
I do.
That also, from environmental groups, they will say tar sands oil is also very, very polluting.
Well, I think it's, at the end of the day, a number of things. I mean, and it'll not only create jobs, it not only provides the opportunities for energy independence, it's also a safe way to transport, done right. And as long as those are met, private property rights are protected, I think that it could be really good for the United States. Now, the oil production, I think, will continue either way. The Keystone, in part, has been, I think, for some also kind of a proxy for all of the frustration that we're not doing more on climate change.
Governor, last legislative session, you did oppose changes to Montana's renewable portfolio standard, which requires utilities to buy 15% of their electricity from renewable sources. Environmental groups do applaud you for that. There are some thoughts that a potential move in this next legislative session would be cutting Montana's net metering requirements. And those say, so if somebody has a solar panel on their roof and they generate more power than they use per month, utilities have to pay that homeowner for the power through lowering their power bill. Now, Northwestern Energy has not said whether or not they would be pursuing any bills to cut back on that net metering scheme, but they are part of a trade association that has aggressively opposed and attacked net metering in other states. If that sort of a measure does work its way into the legislature next time, ends up on your desk, how would you approach something like that?
Well, I've even, in through the legislative process last time, I said I want to see what actually gets on my desk before saying I'd sign or veto something. But at the end of the day, there is some exciting things going on more or less behind the meter, and net metering is one of those. There's some small-scale wind projects, one of which that I've toured kind of near Roundup. So those sort of things where we can sort of change the overall dynamics of energy consumption, and also when we can even feed energy back in, I think that's exciting innovation. And it's at times innovation household by household or a much smaller scale than a significant hydro facility. But it's areas where we need to be, I think, advancing and pursuing.
Many policymakers and scientists are looking from whether or not climate change is happening and how do we prevent that, toward looking into how do we adjust for the changes that are already happening. Are there changes that Montana needs to make?
I mean, in part, those two go together. And we've had discussions around the cabinet about what are the impacts going to be just to state government from an adaptation as things change. And certainly that could have costs when you look at from fire seasons to different flooding to any number of areas. So we're actually, you know, working with the cabinet and having those discussions, because it's not sufficient for me as I look for my kids' future more than my own, even just to say, all right, it's such a huge problem, let's just focus on adaptation. Because I do think that we need to figure out and work toward continuing to reduce our carbon footprint. And I think that good things are happening in that area. The old coach Joe Glenn said, you know, you eat an elephant a bite at a time. So we need to look at those piece by piece by piece. Adaptation is certainly something that we need to look at, but we also need to be doing more.
Governor Steve Bullock, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Dan.